Luke 4, verse 17, I think. No, verse 16. We're still on Sabbath. Let's go to this. Remember, Sabbath is sabbaton. It means to cease, to desist. It says cessation of all activity. That's pretty interesting.
What was that word?
Cessation of all activity. That's what the word Sabbath means.
Body and mind?
Especially mind. The idea, we looked at Hebrews 4. The idea that we, in one sense, really the meaning of it says to, Hebrews 4 says, labor to enter into that rest. That is really the meaning of sanctification. Can you, so that you will cease from sanitation. No. So that you cease from your own activity. And the only activity you have is that which is external. The idea that it's from that point forward, it's faith which worketh by love. And so there's never again something that's generated from from you.
This ties into your will.
Well, again, if your will is always the will of Satan.
Yes, it's like how you turn your will off.
You cease from activity. You cease from paying the slightest attention to your own mind and emotion. But it's a constant. It's not an act. It's a constant. Let's go to Hebrews 4 again.
You said Sabbath was a person. I heard you say that the last couple of days. I'm having a hard time reconciling Sabbath being a person with the cessation of activity.
Well, because the person is Jesus Christ. And so you no more have any interest or any anything from yourself. Nothing is generated from you.
Okay, well, when you say... In my mind, there's a difference between saying Sabbath is a person and saying Sabbath is Christ. That I understand. That makes sense.
Yeah. The Sabbath, and that's why we've been in the night of the Sabbath, the last day, for this 2,000 years. God is waiting for his people to cease from their own activity.
And they do that, they're saying that they are
dead
with him. And the only life in them is his.
The only self is him.
In him. And so he is the Sabbath rest. In him, you are at rest.
If you are at rest, you're at rest. If you still pay attention to your own ideas and generate your own activity, then you are by definition no longer dead. You've raised yourself from the dead, from that deadly head wound.
So you're saying you can be in him but not dead.
Well, again, remember, it's his humility that keeps... That's why he can't occupy where you are. He may be in you, but are you in him?
Well,
if you're in him, then you've ceased from your own activity. You've entered the Sabbath. And if you study the number of things that are forbidden on the Sabbath, you can't light a fire. No, under any circumstances. So what that means is, and the light is, or the spark is always the symbolism for your own ideas. You can't have your own idea any longer. And how do you know what to do? Well, it's always meeting need. It's always only generate. Your life is only has meaning in terms of you only respond to the need that's presented in front of you. You don't invent a program. You don't start doing stuff. You wait until there is no, until a cloud is gone. If you have options, you do nothing. Now, this is the most difficult thing for the human race to do. That's why it's taken 2,000 years for his people to enter the rest. Is this connecting anywhere?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Hmm?
It's a tough one, really.
Well, it's you know it's tough because it's not even taught anymore.
Yeah.
So let's look at Hebrews 4 again.
I mean, it's interesting that even we who talk about it all the time, it's still not something that just, it's still like click, there it is.
Shakes to the core. Hebrews 4.
We looked at this yesterday, but we'll look at it again. Because this is a little bit important. Well, we need to go back. We'll spend some time on this. Let's start in Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart or in their inner being, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, how do you depart from the living God?
You believe in yourself.
You give breath to you. You give some. It's why the word love is so important. If you love as a verb, remember, just means to give importance to something. And so, if you love only the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might, then by definition you're giving importance to nothing else. In doing so, you will automatically love your neighbor as yourself. And what that means, you will do whatever you can do to meet the need of that person, that situation. But you're doing it as unto the Lord. So you have no investment in the outcome. You gotta hear this sometime. Let's sell the watch. So again, the whole idea of everything they did for 40 years in the wilderness is our warning. It happened for us so that we would not do the same things they did. Okay? So watch. Take heed, in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. Now that's an interesting phrase. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. You remember, the real meaning of exhort spiritually is to cause someone to move from one state of being to another. So you cause someone to move from anything in time and space and get back on the mercy seat where everything is perfect, everything, you've been perfected by one offering, everything is finished, you have no need, you have no wants, because you're at the first source of all things. So you exhort one another daily while it is still called today. Now, When is it not going to be called today? Anybody?
When the last trump sounds.
Yeah, when time is back.
No. It's no longer called today for you when the seventh angel stands in you and says the mystery is finished. Time is no longer. For you, time is no longer your control mechanism. Because you're on the mercy seat outside of time. Now this sounds like it sounds like it's impossible. But it's not. It's as easy as breathing. John? Well, I mean, and I know you're troubled by this.
I'm troubled.
You're not? Well, what are you doing then? You fully agree.
Yeah, I fully agree. When you say it's so easy, everything is so easy. Should be easy. Yeah, but I wrestle with. It's not easy. The task is impossible. We don't measure up. You said that. You know, Christ the Sabbath. You know, he kept the Sabbath perfectly. He was the only one who ever could, and he did. We can't measure up. So when you say these things are easy, they're not easy. They're impossible.
Where did he keep the Sabbath perfectly?
In the tomb. That's what I heard.
In the grave.
Yeah.
It's the only time the Sabbath has ever been kept perfectly.
And that's what I heard you say, and that would seem to make sense.
Okay, what does that say to you?
I beg your pardon?
The only way you can be in the Sabbath is to see yourself as dead.
Well, that's not necessarily an easy task, see myself as dead.
There you have it. The next question is, how do you do it?
You see everything else. You see all your ideas, all your opinions as less than nothing.
You do that as you're able to, by the grace of God, 999 times out of 1,000. And the one time you don't, you repent. But it's not simple.
We're going to take one little, I'll just quote it in Job, the purpose of Job. I have heard of thee by the seeing of the eyes, or by the hearing of the ear, excuse me. But now I see thee, and I abhor myself, and I repent in sackcloth and ashes. That meant you've seen yourself as the burnt offering. You've seen yourself as nothing left but ashes. Your real self is on the mercy seat. And anything that denies that is a lie. And it's not difficult to see that it is a lie. It comes up every time that I think I have an opinion about something. It comes up every time that I want to judge somebody. It's so meaningless that it has no function. So my opinions, my ideas are all dust and ashes. Therefore, I'm free from it.
But don't you repent of it when it happens? I've heard you say, again, I'm not casting dispersion on you for sure, but you say, I repent 1,000 times a day. Well, if you repent 1,000 times a day...
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying.
Then it was not so simple.
No. I said when I was a new believer, I repented 1,000 times a day. Because I didn't yet see everything.
I don't want to talk about you. That's not...
Right.
That's not relevant. But my point is, when the awareness of these things becomes important enough for us to consider them and to accept them, you know, somewhere along the line this flips over into faith or something, I don't know. But that's all we can do.
No, listen. And this is why I keep pushing you. Listen.
I'm pushing back.
It's good. Exhort one another daily while it is still called today.
I understand that perfectly.
Yes. That's why I just called you out. Because you could see you were troubled.
Well, I'm not troubled. I'm just considering it. I'm just thinking of it.
All right. But I want you to see what you've just done with those options and talking about it benefits people more than you can understand. Did you hear it right now?
Mm-hmm.
You understand it?
Yeah.
Exhort one another daily while it is still called today. You recognize, I hope you can recognize, from someone's countenance and someone's talk if they're on the mercy seat. If they're not, you exhort one another daily while it is still called today. So that there is a connection, a unity. We are to be knit together in love. And that only way that can happen is by exhorting one another daily while it is still called today. I can't arrive in any place without you. That's the whole mystery of God. It's an us, not an I. All right. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom he sware that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise having left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So there's a lot of times here on this one thing. How many times is it repeated? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. And so that rest is by definition rest. Rest is easy. Rest isn't difficult. The only thing it takes is to see yourself with integrity. It's not difficult. Amen? How do you get out of the rest?
One blade of grass at a time.
Well, it starts with you have an opinion. And then the next step is to justify that opinion. And then pretty soon, as it said, then there'll be more, and then you'll start judging. And then you'll start planning. It's just crazy. This is why it's so critical that we live in community. You can't do this. To me, I don't know of anyone that can do it without the brethren. I certainly can't.
Here's a simplicity for me is that our belief isn't up to the task. And everybody in the wilderness wasn't either. They all fell. They'd seen everything. They still fell.
Except for Joshua and Caleb.
Except for the two. But the simplicity lies in you don't even trust your ability to believe. You reckon yourself dead and trust in his ability. That's not hard. That's easy. But if you're trying to believe your way into the kingdom, you're not going to make it. You don't have what it takes.
This is why that prayer is so important. Oh, Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no self but thee. I have no will but thine, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. That's the definition of humility. That's the definition of poverty.
And in that place, the only thing you do is wait. And as we used to say, love God and have fun. Let him be.
But, how quickly we fall into opinions about politics, about Arizona, about all the different things that capture our attention. What captures your attention captures you. And it's so much... so easy for that to happen until you see the futility of everything. This is why it's so important not to take the opinions and not to take stands. Now, I've labored to enter into that rest. For the most time, I'm in that rest. Pain used to get me out of it. But now even in pain, I'm at rest. Which doesn't, it sounds contradictory. The only reason...
You train yourself to do this?
Is this train kind of, yourself?
I mean, no. What's the adjective? How do you do this?
You do it by seeing rightly.
You do it by seeing
rightly. First by hearing, and then by seeing. By what you hear is what you see. The whole idea, I mean, we've talked forever that all human effort All human ideas are empty and vain and fruitless, especially our own. All opinions are nothing.
Just as a response to that, it's like for me personally, the seeing came fundamentally, I think, from our study in Leviticus, the sacrifices. Once you examine the sacrifice really all the way and seeing all the what that sacrifice included, there's nothing left to do because you've already seen and are satisfied that the sacrifice is complete and adequate. If you don't see that, you will not do anything but struggle with your head and try and make it make sense or whatever you think you have to do to become.
For me, in those early times, everything was about getting rid of opinions. We talked many times about the labels. I had all kinds of opinions about the poor, because I just thought they were lazy. It even happened before I believed, until I moved in over there in the projects, before I was a believer. And then I had all kinds of opinions about politics, until that critical issue happened shortly after I was a believer. When I was offered by the power structure to, now I can really run for office because I have Jesus. And that one I struggled with. And then I had all kinds of opinions about where I lived. The idea that I wanted only to be around beautiful people and only around beautiful things. And I thought that's what the Bible study was going to be. I thought it was going to be people that I knew in politics, and people that I knew in my world that would come and hear. And instead, as Bloom wrote about, it was everything except that.
You had that for a while.
Oh, yeah. Tom Landry used to come to my Bible study.
Yeah, and then they all left.
Right, because the cross, the death, the cross, and they left when I started talking about the Antichrist. But anyway, these things, so slowly but surely, the opinions I have about what's right and what's wrong, I mean, they've gone. And to me, it seems like, how could I ever have thought all that crap now? And again, this is what exhortation is. If you have opinions, that's fine, but let's defend the opinion. Let's see how it stands up against eternity. Let's see how it stands up against taking every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Let's see how it stands up against it is finished. They can't. And slowly but surely, if you that's why these meetings should be dialogue. Because if you have these opinions and you keep them against the cross, I mean, then something weird is happening. What it is no integrity.
I find my opinions mostly work in my bubble. Outside my bubble,
well, that's
they
what
stand up. So it's like we've talked about: if you limit your environment sufficiently,
you can prove to yourself anything.
And you can be king. But get outside.
But that's why it says, expand the pegs of your tent. Expand them to the edge of time and space and self and see what your opinions mean.
Find out.
They mean nothing.
Talk to me about the difference between faith and opinion.
Well, they're mutually exclusive.
Faith is Jesus Christ.
But faith and opinion can't happen.
Faith implies your death.
Your faith stands for something. There's a basis for it.
What?
Jesus Christ.
Right. Nothing else.
Don't you defend your faith?
Against who?
Well, you'd say your mind.
Right.
Well, again, don't you defend it?
Right, and your mind can't stand. There's nothing in your mind that can stand against it. There's no opinion that can be coexistent with it.
Well, there must be an opinion to say that this is right. This is what I choose. This is my belief. This is my faith.
But is that an opinion?
Probably not. I don't know. You know where I'm going. I'm having a hard time with this. Really,
well, I understand you are having a hard time, and that's why I want us to talk.
Fundamentally, I'm in total agreement with you.
Except for opinions.
No, not except for. It's not true. Don't say that.
All right.
Can you identify the spot?
No, that's what I'm trying to do. There's a line of delineation here, and it's not a straight line, and it's not black and white. It wiggles, and it's all over the spectrum. I mean.
But that's not true. There's a line, but it's a bright, shining light.
Well, somehow this flips-flops back and forth. Sometimes you can take it too far. And when you do, you've got to find it, you've got to recognize it, whether you discovered it yourself, whether someone in the community brought it up to you, and you have to go, oh, geez, that's right. And you've got to get back in step, back in line. And it takes repentance to do that.
Right.
Fine, I'll do that. But there are some basic, elementary, faith-based concepts that need to be adhered to, should be adhered to. Christ adheres to them, which are different than the way other people think. Therefore, you have an opinion. I don't know what you want to call it, but you have something that makes you, this is my question between faith and opinion. There's something that makes you, well, I don't know what to say. Stand to that? That's wrong. You don't take stands. I don't know what it is. We as Christians are we meet need. We work for the poor. We work for the oppressed. When you see oppression, you don't walk away from it. It's not.
You don't necessarily.
It says this is oppression.
But you don't necessarily do anything about it either. You.
Well, what do you mean you don't? That's another thing. What do you mean you don't take anything? You don't do it.
What you look. This is, again, we're back to this mystery of who guides you. Do your eyes guide you, or does faith guide you?
Well, again, and when you call me on that, and I recognize it, and I know I've gone too far, I appreciate that. I want to get back in line. But I don't know, but it still takes a step or two this direction, which starts to get towards opinions. I mean, again, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk people don't vote. How can you not vote? How can you justify not voting?
I didn't vote.
I know you didn't. You don't. I don't understand that. I don't get that.
This isn't my kingdom. I have no home here.
Is that not just a little bit extreme? Just a tiny bit extreme?
Sure. It's totally extreme. It's as extreme as it gets. I have no investment in anything that takes place in time and space.
I would go so far as to say to you, and please, I'm not. I told you I don't want to talk about you, but since you brought it up.
Since you brought yourself up.
I say it's wrong not to vote. I say it's sin not to vote.
Well, show me that.
Well, I can't show you that. You know that better than I do, coming and going and everything else. I mean, it just seems to me that if you are going to defend or stand up to, I don't know, pick something, oppression, that you would, a great place to start would be by voting. And that doesn't mean that it's right or wrong what you choose. It isn't. But to stand back is...
To stand back is... Well, here's the way
did
this.
Did you not have an opinion when Christ was being crucified and people were, you know, did you stand back?
No, I probably yelled, "Crucify him." That's what I said.
That wouldn't have been the right thing to do. I don't mean to argue with you, Ole. I totally am in agreement fundamentally with everything that you're saying, but I can't get there.
Well, the neither can I. That's why I spent 12 years trying to find a loophole.
Well, I take it from you that there aren't any loopholes. I accept that.
They're not.
Maybe I object to your word easy, you know.
Can I say something for just a second?
When it's easy, here's the easy part.
When it's easy, you set me up.
Okay.
Because when it doesn't work for me,
let me give
I'm
you,
thinking to myself, it's supposed to be easy.
Let me give you a parable. The human race is swimming in the ocean. And every once in a while, you get up on the raft. Somebody gets up on the raft. And he just floats. And then everybody around him gets all pissed off. And so every once in a while you see somebody that's, for some reason, that's floating next to you. I mean, it's swimming next to you, and he's tired of swimming. So you pull him up on the raft. But most of them, they're not tired of swimming, because that's what you do. You swim. That's what you do. You boat. That's what you do, you anything, instead of floating on the raft. But you don't have you don't take any action about conceptually over there something might be going on. You simply as if you see oppression while you're moving on the raft, you reach down and pull them up.
I vote for more rafts. I mean, I understand. I hear you clearly.
Okay. But you have an ingrained opinion about politics. And you call it and justify it in a thousand ways.
You're talking to me personally?
You personally. And I'm talking to Gary personally and the other side.
Okay.
And so all I'm saying to both of you is try it without the opinion. See, the opinion is wrong.
Totally accept that the opinion might be wrong. I think the opinion that I had before is wrong already.
Yeah, but so then get on the raft, get back on the raft. When you have an opinion, you get off the raft. And things get difficult. Get back on the raft. If you see conceptually, it's really self-righteous. I'm going to fix oppression. I'm going to save the poor. What happens is, as you're floating on the raft, you see it lift. And if they're the oppressed, you lift them on the raft. This is what we studied so long. It took us 8 months to go through the book of Ecclesiastes. This is what it's all about. This is the crux. This is where the line appears, as you say, to move around.
I hear this as a way to save the right to still think.
No.
Let me finish my statement.
Okay.
The right to discern for yourself what's good and evil, and if you examine your thinking, you'll find you do. This is good, that's evil, this is good, that's evil. Whereas in Christ, you don't do that. You might save the press and you might not.
Yeah,
you're in rest, and if it happens, it's because he quickened it to happen. And if it doesn't,
but,
he didn't.
But here, Gary, because you both are guilty of this. All I'm saying to you is, both of you, and everybody else, is just consider the raft analogy. And that's what makes it easy. And you meet the need of the, if you can reach them. So that's the other analogy is everybody's in the fire, and some have compassion pulling them out of the fire. And so this whole...
But what does this have to do with voting? I mean, you could easily say...
I mean, I don't care if you vote or not.
Yeah, I mean, you can easily say, you know, by voting, I'm seeing that I'm going to help somebody onto the raft.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, but again, it's hard to vote without an opinion.
Well, without a decision, yeah, you have to decide between one or the other. Or you can not vote, which I didn't. On some races, I didn't vote because I didn't have an opinion. I don't know which is better than the other.
Well, anyway, it's this is an issue that I struggled with for years, and I will just ask you to get on the raft. And if there's a voting machine on the raft, vote. Anyway, think about the raft in terms of the rest, what it means to with regard to Sabbath. Okay.
There was one word that wasn't coming up, and I've always felt. I don't live it all the time at all, but I always felt that one of the manifestations of humility is tolerance versus intolerance. And that hasn't come up, and to me that seems to be entwined with opinion.
Yeah, what I want you to do, though, is what about any of these words, I want you to think about being on the raft as the easy part, okay? And what God brings to the raft, you take action.
I vote that Pete gets to say what he wants to say.
I didn't know he wanted to say something.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Last night, it was kind of difficult for me to get on the raft. And I just want to say I'm thankful for this discussion.
What happened?
Just basically mind talk.
Okay. Well, the raft analogy has, I used to talk about it all the time. I haven't talked about it lately. But that's why I say it's easy. If you're on the raft, it's easy. If you're off the raft, then it's a struggle. And it's really not about voting or not voting, or it's about the raft. Okay? Take a big guy.